Going to give you a chance to ask a question or two. It says here in chapter 11 of Jeremiah, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them," that is, do the covenant commandments, "obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, so be it, O Lord." Remember now, right here, they are told, as God brings them out of Egypt, they are told to obey God, to obey the Lord, honor the Lord and obey the Lord. They're told to do that. And he said, if you do that, then I will be your God, and you will be my people. And I will take you into Canaan if you obey my voice. But now you've got to remember that they did not obey his voice. And they did turn back into Egypt in their hearts. They did not obey the voice of God. And they died in the wilderness. God did not get to perform his word of commandment to them. As a matter of fact, we're told later by the preachers of the New Testament, said, seeing that these did not enter into the rest of the Lord, these to whom the promise came, therefore there still remains a place of rest for them that will honor and obey the Lord. And said, don't you do as they did in the wilderness to harden your heart against his commandments. You know, I say again, hardening of the heart means to do your own thing, to think your own thoughts, to get your own desire, to plan your own program, to follow your own way. That freezes God's desire and will out. He said, don't do that, lest you also have the promise taken away from you, the promise of entering into God's rest. But in that they that to whom the promise came did not enter into the rest, he said, then there still remaineth rest for God's people. All right, now, I could preach or teach or whatever tonight, but I want to let you ask a question or two. Sometimes you get things on your mind, and I know that you have questions because I have people to come to me. And they say, I just don't understand this one thing. If I just understood this one thing, Brother Pike, it would be so valuable to me. So then, if you'd stand up and tell me what that one thing is, I'll try my best to help you. Sometimes we take one question, we comment on it, and the service is gone. And a lot of times I talk a little bit before we get to the reading of the Word of God so that you can have answers to questions that I feel is in your heart. So if you would, then stand up, ask the question. And if we get to one, we'll answer it. If we get to more than one, we'll answer it. Okay, now let me see if I understand what you're saying. Are you saying, how can you tell when you've got the Holy Ghost? Okay, there is but one way. There is but one way. People teach that the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that's what tells you that you've got the Holy Ghost, which is not true. And you can speak in tongues and not have the Holy Ghost. And it can be the Spirit of God coming on you. Just like in the Old Testament, Saul went there with murder in his heart, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he prophesied. By the same means, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you can speak in tongues or prophesy. See, but it doesn't mean that you have the infilling of the Spirit of God. Just as I say, thank you, friend. A lot of times I say this, that just to be a believer does not mean that you have the Holy Ghost. You can believe and not have the Holy Ghost. See, and remember that to be a believer and not have the Holy Ghost, that means that you still don't belong to God. The upper coast of Ephesus, the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul, having met certain disciples of John, he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" And they said, "Well, we've not even so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not." Paul said, "Well, under what baptism was you baptized?" They said, "Under John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized under repentance." Said, "John indeed baptized under repentance." Said, "That's right. Nothing wrong with that." Said, "That baptism was from heaven." That is, Paul didn't say that like that. It's not recorded in the scriptures if he said it. But Jesus did ask the question, said, "Tell me, John's baptism, was it of heaven? Was it of God or of man?" See, it was of heaven. But Paul said, it's not the baptism. Said, it's the name. See, there is but one baptism, that is the Holy Ghost baptism. There is but one baptism. There is a symbolic thing of three in one, which is water baptism in the name of Jesus, and then the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And then there is water, fire, spirit as the three in one. There's the water baptism in Jesus' name. There's the fire baptism of the blood of the consummation of taking away your sins, which is Calvary. And then there is the spirit baptism of the Christ that was in Jesus entering into your heart and coming into your heart because of the resurrection. Now, this is one baptism. There is but one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These three are one. There is but one baptism, water, blood, and spirit. These three agree in one. So, as to your one baptism, as to your one God, it means that you have to be more than a believer. Believing leads you to the Spirit of Christ. And then the Spirit of Christ, through that believing, comes into your heart. Because it is by faith of Christ, through your believing in Calvary, that brings you a sanctifying or cleansing. And through that sanctifying and cleansing, you are no more dirty. You're no more filthy. You're no more of the first world. You pass from death unto life. Christ comes and abides in your temple. As long as the temple is not defiled, he will not destroy it. But the only evidence of the Spirit is charity. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I have faith that I could move mountains, though I have the wisdom and understanding to understand all mysteries, with all of this, without charity, you're nothing. And the way that you can tell, of course, that this is in your life, the child is known by his doing. Now, that is the proof of Christ's Spirit. It is the Spirit of charity. God so loved that he gave. And when you get his Spirit, you'll so love that you'll surrender your whole heart, forsaking all that you have to follow him. So when you say, how can you tell? You'll have a life of love. The root of your life will be charity. Sacrificial thinking, sacrificial attitude. You won't be temperamental. You won't fly up at other people. You won't jump on other people. You'll be meek. You'll be humble. You'll be submissive. You'll be desirous to learn about God and conform to the things of God. Charity is not puffed up. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity behaveth not itself unseemingly. Charity seeketh not its own, and on and on and on. Charity is the bond of perfectness, which is Christ's Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that seals your spirit to perfectness, to where you can never have a spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He that hath the Spirit of Christ, even charity, keepeth himself, and Lucifer, the evil one, cannot penetrate that bond of perfection. He cannot touch him. And who does God give this to? Who does he give it to? Can you tell when you've got it? Or how can you tell? The Bible says that God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. That's the ones that gets it. Faith by the hearing of him. That is faith by the hearing of the word. It is not the minister speaking, it's the word speaking through him. The same to every generation. the Word, when you believe in the Word and honor and obey the Word, which is God, then the Spirit of the Word comes into your heart and seals your spirit. And that can be by the laying on of hands. That can be while you're talking and praising God. That can be while you tarry before God that you receive the infilling of the Spirit. But like here at Bethlehem, I don't have but very few people at Bethlehem that have the Holy Ghost. I got men here that say they're ministers, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. And I have numbers of people that have been serving God for years, I mean many years, but they do not have the Holy Ghost. Now they are believers, and you can't reject them. Neither will God reject them as long as life's in the body. Who knows but what they might have an upper coast experience, you know. Once they might run into an upper, you know, at Ephesus experience, as we say. But they don't have the indwelling of the Spirit. You can tell when it comes into you in many ways, because His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We cry, Abba, Father. The Bible teaches that you cannot call God your Father just by being a believer. That is, you can say Father, you can call Him Father, but that doesn't mean He's your Father. See, for a man to have a daughter or a son that can call him father, truthfully, it has to be that that son or daughter hath his spirit, which means they were born of the genes, of his blood genes, of that life. And the Bible said you cannot call him father except by the Holy Ghost. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His, which means you cannot call Him Father. We're all baptized into one body by one Spirit, and that is the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Christ makes you a membership or a member of the true church, Christ being the head of that body, which is the church. And we being members as to 20, as to 10-fold, 100-fold, 30-fold, whatever He might make us as to our measure, whatever the Bible outlines. So we are part of our Father's family as to membership. If there's five children, then that brings in us into a place as to a fifth part. But if we conform the more to our Father's ways and become more like our Father than the others, that brings us more into His image, more into His desire, more into doing His will, and more into doing His will than our will. But nevertheless, to really know that you've got the infilling of the Spirit, there is absolutely no way except charity. If you have charity, then you have the infilling of the Spirit. The Bible teaches that faith works by love, and that love is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Which means if you have love in your heart, which is charity, you couldn't possibly have had it except the Holy Ghost had been in you, because that's the only way it's shed abroad in you. Okay, has somebody else got a question? We'll go through this as to try to tell it in a real simple way. The Bible says that all of the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear. All right, now, if that means that I as an individual can understand invisible things by these things I'm looking at, then I should understand the Godhead. Because the Bible said even the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. All of the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, even the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. So let's take something that appears. Now, we look back, and I've used this illustration. Let's just look at a number of things, for instance. We look into heaven. There is the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's a family. That's father, mother, and children. Because father, mother, and children. Can I say that father, mother and children are one? Of course they're one. The Bible said a man and his wife is one. So whatever comes forth from the man through the woman is part of that one. That is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's his children. The same way with the sun. The sun gives light to the moon, and from the moon the stars are produced, even the reflectors. If the other stars are considered suns, then they have a family. Because the sun that we know in our universe is called the day star. It is also a star. So then the family, that shows us one. If a man sits down, and this is in simplicity where a child can understand it. If a man goes to the table to eat, as to the things that do appear, usually there is placed before him a plate, a saucer, and a cup. That's usually what he gets. And if he turns to knives, forks, spoons, he gets one of each. A knife, a fork, a spoon. If you cut down a tree and examine it, you find the heart, you find the body, you find the bark. If you take an automobile, you'll find the body, you'll find the machine part that runs, which is the motor, and you'll find the frame. That's your three major parts. You take a house, you'll find the foundation, you'll find the walls, you'll find the top. That's your three major things. Somebody said, well, what about all the other things in there, Brother Pike? Well, take any one of them. Take your light, you'll find your bulb, you'll find the filament of your bulb, and you'll find the light that comes in through the filament, through the bulb, to light the building. You take a man's body, it's body, soul, and spirit. You'll find out that it's a 1, 2, 3. And anything that you want to take, it doesn't matter what it is, the earth has three major parts to it. The heavens have three major parts to it. The spheres have three major parts to it. And anything that you take, it doesn't matter what it is, it'll always break down into threes. And it'll always be a 3-in-1. So, if we look at it a little farther, we see that in the beginning, God is like this, without form. He is without form. This is why the Bible said, and God created the earth, and it was without form. And it was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. We teach this sometimes. You're made as a man, but you're without form. Because you don't have the comeliness of Christ. Neither are you made in his image. Somebody said, well, I'm made in the image of God. No, you're not made in the image of God. You was born in the image of beast. That's why science always goes back to the origin as to the beast. So then, you have never at any time seen his form. You've never known him. You couldn't know him. There's no way. Only the pure in heart can know God. And God purifies the heart by faith. And when you become a Christian, then is when you see God through the eyes of your understanding as to the enlightenment. Because God is a spirit of great light unto which no man can approach. Jesus Christ alone dwelling in that light hath immortality. And when we change from this bodily image of the beast of that first birth and leave the understanding of our first birth, not to lean to it, then we become the body of Christ, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. As to the foreknowledge of God, we then are in God's sight. A quickening spirit and no more a living soul. And then through the pureness of heart, we see God as to the measure that we submit. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, we enter into that measure as to see God, as to God the great light, as to the enlightenment of our eyes of understanding. So then, our body as the bulb, our soul is the filament, and God, the eternal Spirit, is Christ radiating through that as to make us the light of the world, that our light might shine, that people may come out of the darkness of the intellectual wandering of the carnal mind. The Lord sent Paul, turn my people from that darkness to light. So then before the world was ever created, God was without form. He had no form. No one knew him. Someone said, well, I think you could have known him before the world, Brother Pike, was ever created. No one ever knew him before the world was ever created because there wasn't nobody to know. The world had to be created before you was ever created. So there was no way. So then, in that there was nobody to know, there was no form. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, there was angels. Angels had no forms. They were just like anything else. Angels. When the angel came to the shepherd on the hillside, the Bible said a great light showed round about him. When the angel appeared to Paul, even Christ, on the way as he walked to persecute and cast him into prison, it was a great light. It was an angel. It blinded Paul. See, so there was no form. But when God came forth, he meant for angelic beings to take on form. And today, angels have forms. Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. And said to Judas, one of you is a devil. So today, angels have forms. They take on forms. Good angels take on forms. Bad angels take on forms. Good angels take on your form to come to minister to you. And they minister strength to you as they did when they come to Jesus. And bad angels take on forms to get inside of you and to tear you down, to make you a drunkard or whatever they want to make out of you, gullible for the things of the world. You can always recognize them because they love the things of the flesh and they savor the things that be of the flesh. And all of their ambition is to try to get more and have more in the natural. You can tell the good angels their desire is to do the will of God, and they'll inspire you to think right, to do right. They'll give you strength like they strengthened Jesus in his fasting. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that love him. And there's a guardian angel. Check your Bibles. He's around you. He watches over you. And that's why a lot of times that you haven't been killed, he come just in time. And see, the Bible said he'll give his angels charge concerning thee, and they'll bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And he said, my angel goes before thee. Don't grieve him. He will not pardon your transgressions. So again, I said that to try to bring out the Godhead. And that is to say that God, until Jesus came, was not known to humanity as a form. He was only the Spirit. That's why they worship birds and they worship the sun and they worship the moon and they worshiped all kind of things. And the Lord appeared in the bush, and he appeared in the dove, and he appeared in the mountain, burning with fire. He appeared in all these things. He appeared in the water to roll it back, to let every man and woman know that he was the God of all creation, and that he was the owner of that creation, and he could speak through a donkey or in a whirlwind, and that men should know that he was in everything, but they should not worship those images. And that killed the influence of those that preach that men should worship those paganistic images as to other god or goddess. And in this, God brought forth his own image. And the Bible said Jesus Christ was the express image of God. And he was the given image. And Jesus said to the woman at the well, lest ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And they said, you being a man, make yourself God. So there came forth the image. And today you are the bodily image as to membership, while Jesus is the head, the fullness. So in Jesus, the fullness makes him God. That is the embodiment of God. And what makes these three one is that God is the great light, which means understanding, wisdom, life. And that great life took a mold of a human being, just like you're born into this world, and poured himself fully without reservation as to the full measure of his being in Christ Jesus. Which means that God ordained that through Christ, he was the Godhead, not part of the Godhead. And the Bible said, and the fullness of the Godhead. so far as the body is Jesus. For the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Jesus. So God said, this is the fullness. Nothing will be done in heaven and in earth. Nothing will be done throughout eternity. Nothing has ever been done, even before the world ever was, except through Him. And it is through Him that all things will be done. All things are for Him and by Him. All things was made for His pleasure, and without Him was nothing made that was made. So Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the joys I had before with Thee before the world ever was. So that's your Godhead. And there is no other part of that except the church's membership. So then God, through Jesus, rules all things. That makes Him and the Father one. He said, me and my Father are one. And then when this mold that was filled up with godliness was taken to Calvary, when the mole at 33 years old had fully, we say, as to something that ferments or something that hardens or something that comes to solids, whatever it would be, as to something fully seasoned, when this mold of godliness had completely molded itself to the extent that the Bible said he grew in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That he was chastened. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. That he become our example. And as he grew and fully molded himself into God in the earth. Once this was done, people then could comprehend God. Through Jesus, the body, they said, God is good. God is kind. God is loving. God is a healer. God forgives. Jesus said, thy sins, son, be forgiven thee. Be of good cheer. And on and on and on, they saw God and they comprehended God. As they comprehended God, they realized that he went about doing good, healing all. So that means that God is the go about doer, gooder, healing all. He is the one. We know what God is like. We know who God is. We understand God. We comprehend God. When he presented himself as to the expression through Christ, then the mold was open. He rent the veil. And when the mold was open, out stepped the personification of God, and the little mold went back to the clay from whence it was taken. That means that God today is Christ's spirit. So what is Christ's spirit? It is the ghost that was made holy. The Holy Ghost. So he was the Father without form as the great eternal spirit. He was the Son as personification as to the name Emmanuel, God with us. And he is today without the veil. He is within your heart, the Holy Ghost, which is Christ's spirit. As to God's spirit, one, saying, Father, take Brother Pike's spirit, Brother Taylor's spirit, the church's spirit, and make their spirit one with our spirit, as to the Christ spirit. So then he is in you by measure. Now then you can receive him by measure, since he is the Holy Ghost. He is by measure. And he comes into your heart and my heart as to whatever you will allow of him to come. Though we are ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, and everyone that be perfect shall be as his master, as he tells us to go on unto perfection, not be repenting over and over as to doing foolish things like children, not laying again the foundation of repentance, of dead works, faith toward God. But he tells us to go on to perfection. That is to the laying on of the hands, to the resurrection of the dead, and all these things that we're going to come to. You can lay hands on people, give them gifts, impart gifts. You can go on to the resurrection of the dead. Paul spoke of that great measure. Not that I have obtained unto it, but this I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward to the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I do not say that I have obtained unto it, Paul said. But this I do, I forget those things behind, and I press forward to it. And we say, what does he mean? He said, a full reward. Let us receive a full reward. And I'm pressing forward to that full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, to be as my master. So then you receive the Spirit by measure as to whatever you want, whatever you surrender to. Let him come that hath no money, let whosoever will come, and partake of the Spirit of Christ, which is the waters of life freely. And then out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So then as it is, the metal that is in the earth is dug out, no form, but it is melted down as through the furnace of Calvary, poured into a form as to an automobile or an airplane or whatever it is. And once it goes through the process, when the mold is opened up, then you take the image out. And whatever the image is, that's what you call it. So that means that the Father is a great light of wisdom and understanding, which came as a Spirit of Christ into a human body. He came as the wisdom and light into a little infant body. And the body grew until there was a spiritual image in life as called the inner man that came forth as the great Holy One, even God, put together in detail from glory to glory. And with that, released after man could comprehend him. And today, though he's invisible, we still love him, understand him, comprehend him, and believe until that spirit of that measure by measure understanding as Jesus grew in knowledge and wisdom. The Holy Ghost, the full strength and the fullness of God. That's what he is, folks. And he'll come back to you if you look for him, and he'll come into your heart if you will allow him to come in. So then the question that the sister asked, it goes right along with the question that was previously asked. As to who is God? I brought that out the other night. Who is God? God is the invisible Holy Ghost. And the only way you will ever see him is according to the measure that you behold within your brother or sister. And the only way you'll ever do anything for him, and that you do it to them, though they be children or little in measure, you do it unto God, even the least of them as to their measure. You do it as unto God. If you do it not unto them, then that means you missed it altogether, folks. And in the day of the judgment, having not been your brother's keeper as to concern and wanting somebody to be your keeper, always wanting and never wanting to give, it means that you missed it. You got to have his spirit in you if you're saved. If you don't have that spirit in you, you cannot be saved. You may be a believer, but that's why I emphasize repentance and being baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody said, I've been baptized. I can't help it. You still did not get the Spirit of Christ. The Bible said, when he comes, he will come in my name. My spirit dwells under my name. And that's the way Christ's spirit is. And when you number yourself in death with Jesus as to your sins being gone because of the blood of Calvary, then his blood is applied to you, and when you go down in that watery grave, it means that you've been buried in the grave with Jesus. And you lost your identity, and you're no longer who you were, but you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and them that are called by his name as to his members. And his spirit, which is his life, comes into his living body. It will not come into another. My glory I will not give to another. Okay, now, what is his glory? The Bible said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he alone is made heir to the glory of God. Which means the Spirit of Christ has took the glory of God within his life as to growth and detail and as to maturity. And the Holy Ghost is the walking glory of God, which Adam was overshadowed with in the beginning, and which we receive after Calvary as a gift. So then we could say much about this tonight. But see, his glory he will not give to you unless you're baptized in his name. You've got to come in the name of the Lord Jesus. You cannot have it any other way. You may teach it, you may preach it, you may believe it, but you're still wrong. You cannot have it. When he comes, he will come in my name. And the Bible said, if any minister or any person take one of the least of these commandments and break it, I'll call him least. If he preaches these commandments, I'll call him great. And Peter said, I command every one of you to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of this glory of the Holy Ghost, Christ in you, the hope of that glory. And you will not be another, and you can receive it as his own body and membership as the church. said, and you will receive it, for it is unto you and unto Brother Pike and Brother Taylor. Or he said, as unto as many afar off, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Bible said, and 3,000 people were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they set up the church, and folks, believe it or not, that was the only church. They ain't never been another set up. Somebody said they set up the Baptist, nothing. They set up the Pentecostal, nothing. Set up the Catholic, nothing. The charismatic church, nothing. Non-denominationals, nothing. I don't care what the church is, what the name is, who the group is, nothing. There's been one church, and that was set up at Pentecost, and 3,000 was added unto it. And today, every person that's added unto it belongs to the church. That church was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible said God added to the church daily such as should be saved. Which means that church has grown, and God has been the only one that added to it, in that you're baptized into it, not by some water baptism or joining some church or some doctrine, but you are baptized in the membership of that church, of that body, which is Christ's body, by one Spirit, even the Holy Ghost, even that glory which comes in His name. And when you submit to that name, then you get that glory, which is life. And that church has continued to grow down through the centuries, and men have commercialized by setting up their little worldly organizations, which all together they'll come into one membership under the Antichrist. And the Antichrist, Satan, will take over the church that you call a church, and it will be a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. A religious football team, or a religious television program, or a religious society, or some kind of religious thing, folks. So I said that to say this: are you part of the church, or are you not part of the church? You can tell. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Does that sound clear? Okay, let's stand together. That's about as far as we're going to be able to get tonight. That's why I, as a preacher, sometimes folks think, well, Brother Pike, you're just absolutely too bold. You speak too plain. Whereas that's not true. The Bible said, be bold as a lion. I'm not near bold enough. I need to get bolder, so I'll be bold as a lion. If a lion come in here tonight, you know what would happen? I'd lose my congregation. We'd find out how much boldness each one of us had. If God didn't undertake, you'd lose your pastor. And we'd find out how much boldness we had. Now, Samson had a lot of boldness, and David had a lot of boldness. And I trust to God I've got that boldness. I've thought about it a lot of times. But I can't tell you nothing until it comes. There's one thing about it. I believe God will give me grace. Through Him I can do all things, and you can too. But I'm just saying that. See, I don't have enough boldness. Be bold as a lion, harmless as a dove, wise as a serpent. And I say a lot of times, gentle as a lamb. The Bible said the minister should be gentle. And I'm not plain enough. The Bible said use great plainness of speech. That is, Paul said we use great plainness of speech. All the writers said we use great plainness of speech. So, this is why I'm as bold as I am, because I understand these things. Like I tell you a lot of times, I said, I'm not guessing, folks. I made it my business years ago to contact the Heavenly Father, because I cried and I wept and I was tore up. And I said, my God, you've called me to preach, and I don't know what to preach. And I said, oh, Lord, I'm scared. And I was scared. I said, if I tell somebody something and I don't know what to tell them, and then I find out later that I told them wrong, I said, their blood will be on my hand, and that person will be lost. And I said, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I just cried and bawled. And kept on. And I said, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me. There's a little child going outside. I guess somebody's with him. And I said, help me. Help me, Lord. Folks, always watch your little children. Around shopping centers or wherever, a lot of times little kids get lost. We think that, you know, that's them. It couldn't happen to us. But mothers, watch them. The Bible said, watch and pray. So then that's why I'm bold. I talked to God till He gave me the understanding. And today I'm thankful that I know. And I praise God for it. And if you want to know, you can know. Somebody says, well, you don't really know, Brother Pike. You just kind of have to hope. No. The Bible said we know that we pass from death unto life. I must say, well, you don't know whether I'm right or not. The writer said, we know that you're not right because we know that we are right. You love the Lord. Now, if you don't know whether you're right or not, then you don't know whether anybody else is wrong. But see, the Bible teaches that the real child of God shall know the truth. Somebody said, you don't know whether it's right or not. We don't know whether you're preaching it right or not. We don't know whether it's right or not. Oh, yes. The Bible said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So see, we go back to a know-so salvation. Not a know-all, except in Christ. Are we a know-all? Most assuredly we are. And the Bible said, in all things that my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, he said, that ye should know all things. So believe it or not, you are a know-all. So don't feel bad when they call you that. So I thank the Lord for the blessings of God. You know, if somebody said, oh, you're just a know-all, you just have to drop your head in shame if you can't fit the title. But if you fit the title, say, well, praise God. Hallelujah. Would you like to know something? Just come on over and we'll talk to you. So we thank the Lord because it's not us speaking, it's Christ speaking from within us. And it is not our mind, but it is the mind of Christ. Somebody said, well, you just think you know everything. Say, praise God. It's good that you know the truth, brother. You love the Lord? It's good that you can recognize things. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing that little chorus everybody ought to know. I like that. How many believe that you know? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. He is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. I want you to lift your hands with me. Jesus went about doing good. Who is God? Do you know God? Who is God that I can go tell somebody about God? Who hath eternal life? They that follow him. He said, in my sheep, they know my voice. They don't have to wonder if they understand whether or not that's the voice of God. They know They know my voice. I'm a stranger. They will not follow. Somebody said, oh, he's following a stranger. He's a sheep of God. No, God has not given us the spirit of error. When you see somebody following a stranger, he's not the sheep of God. Don't worry about him. Jesus said, I've not lost to one of them, Father. Somebody said, well, it's just one that strayed off, Brother Pike. He'll come back. No, he's not one that strayed off. You don't have to look for him coming back. If he'd been God's sheep, he'd have never followed the stranger to start with. The Bible said if they'd have been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. So then you don't have to worry, little sheep. You're without spot, without blemish. Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The evil one will never touch you during your whole lifetime. You are able to keep yourself because you know, because you believe, because you have the seal of that bond of perfection on the inside of you. And no one can get to that seal. So then, as we grow, as that which is shut up in the heart and the travail is until Christ be formed within you, the seal is sure. No contamination or death. Life is there. And we'll come forth, not as unto death, as unto a still birth, but as unto living and life. And all will be well, and it'll be the Father's own life by his foreknowledge unto predestination and justification, as unto his own image, as having been predestinated, our destination decided before we ever came into the world. It was a pre-done thing. Predestinated as unto predestination, as to conformity to his image, as unto good works, even his works, that the Father has accepted in our behalf, as we stumble and stagger till we can grow up from children into that full measure of his well-doing. So then, folks, you're lovely children of God, and nothing can hurt you. And if you are the son of God and the daughter of God, you'll be about your Father's business. You won't have the desire of the world. All that will matter to you is eternal life. They that follow me, he said, I'll give them eternal life. So you're subjects of eternal life tonight, and may God bless you, and may God help you. May the Lord be with you. I love you. You're great and a mighty people, a royal priesthood, kings, talents, great and mighty people. May the Lord love you. May the Lord bless you. May he lead you. May he guide you. And may you receive of God the fullness in the sense that we go on to a full reward. While you're standing here tonight, thinking on Jesus, I'm going to ask Brother Gilbert to come up and dismiss us. While Gilbert's coming tonight, think on these things that I told you. Think over these things, folks, because this is so beautiful. This is so lovely. This is so wonderful. This is so glorious. Would you like the full measure of that wisdom? You know, to have the full measure of the light of the understanding of the wisdom as to him is to have the fullness of him. Whatever you'd like to have in there, some of you did run well. What's hindered you? The Bible said, lay aside every weight. Take the weights and get rid of them. Don't let things be weighty on your mind, and don't let things weight you down. Don't do that. As Brother Gilbert came up, Satan catching my attention, trying to twist that up. But lay aside every weight. Every weight. See, and run with patience the race that is set before you. Get a full reward. So beautiful. Get filled with the Holy Ghost, which is the wisdom, the light, the understanding, that your face may shine as an angel, as did Stephen's, that they might not withstand the wisdom by which you speak, or as it was with Moses when the light was so glorious they could not look at him. He had to put a veil over him. And as it was when Brother Gerald said he saw the light, he missed Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, the great light. The great light. God bless you.